2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hey there, and welcome to Easy Being Green, the podcast where we talk about the planet, its health, and how we can improve it. I'm Taylor Powers, that's Deanne Tetzel, and we're your hosts. Today's topic is about sea level change and a current event. You may have heard of Iceberg D28.
Right. It's got its own classified name. Mm-hmm. The news came out a few days ago, the beginning of October. A huge iceberg just split from Antarctica, which is basically scientifically normal for icebergs to calve and split. And anybody that's, I think, been on a cruise up in Alaska, that's part of why people go to see this pretty interesting event. How much of that is happening as normal sort of change in our, you know, ice sheets and that kind of thing, and how much of it is due to human-caused climate change?
Right. Because there are, you know, ice melts and ice shelf breakage that is totally due to climate change. And then there are these calvings. Is that how you pronounce it?
Calving, yeah.
Calving that is totally normal every 60 to 70 years. It's just kind of the flow of, you know, this ice up in Antarctica.
Yeah, for this size of one that was really enormous, which is the reason it made news, because it's such a big one.
Yeah, it's so. What they said. It's bigger than the island of Oahu. It's equal to 27 Manhattan islands. And, you know, bigger than Los Angeles. So it's about a little over 600 square miles in area. But scientists have known about it for a really long time. They've been expecting it to calve. They expected it to calve in somewhere between 2010 and 2015. So it's a little late, actually. So a lot of scientists were like happy. They were like, finally, it split. So just kind of understanding it a bit more, you know, it's not necessarily detrimental to sea level rise, because, you know, if you imagine an ice cube in a glass of water, you know, when it melts, it doesn't raise
significantly.
Yeah. It doesn't raise the water level. Right. It's already displaced.
Right.
And that's kind of what this was. It was already kind of attached, not really attached. So it was already taking up the water. When there's a full breakage of something totally new that drops into the water, it raises the sea level.
Right.
You know, of course, now that it's on its own, it probably will melt and break apart faster than it would have still been attached to Antarctica. Mm-hmm. But scientists don't expect that to happen for many, many years.
Right.
So it's not too much to worry about. I mean, when I saw it in the news, it's kind of alarming to see because
it's a significant break. But this is a normal event. However, some people do look at this and think, well, is it this size of a split? Is it increasing? Could it be a sign that there is something that we're doing that's human caused? So people are watching it closely, and ice melt is part of climate change. So it is happening more rapidly in places due to climate change. So that's why people are watching this. And Greenland, for example, has a lot of scientists studying the water down there, the water that is melting, and just to see what's happening, what it's looking like, how it's affecting some of the species that live down there. Mm-hmm. Because as the climate changes, as our temperature warms up, species are, it is affecting, and species are going extinct as
yeah.
a result.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. I mean, you also look at, so this water rising, it affects species, but you also think about what the salt water is doing to crops, say. Mm-hmm. Like the salt water intrusion onto freshwater crops, it's ruining crops across the world. And, you know, that's another whole nother topic, is about food scarcity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a scary proposition, not to mention the places that we live, that humans live.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
It was interesting as I was looking into this this area in Greenland. I will probably pronounce this wrong, but it's the Sermalik Ice Station. And they're studying a sheet of ice that stretches north for 1,480 miles, an mm-hmm. area three times the size of France, just to give us an idea of how big that is. This ice sheet, and I thought this was very interesting, is holding 10% of the world's fresh water.
Wow.
So that kind of blew me away. So it's been frozen solid for millions of years. So this yeah. is fresh water that 10%, I mean, that's a huge amount of the world's fresh water. So, mm-hmm. And again, it's saying in this article, it is calving season there in Greenland. So these icebergs and these ice sheets are splitting. That's part of what happens. It's normal. But they're watching it. They're taking samples yeah. of this mm-hmm. water. They're measuring carbon, algae, water, air, things like that, to see, you know, what's happening with this. This is water that's been, again, frozen for tens of thousands of years. Yeah. So,
speaking of fresh water, another thing with rising sea level, the salt water infecting, you know, I talked about crops, but it's also affecting the drinking water. So mm-hmm. it's a whole problem. Drinking water, food, you know, It's a big one.
It's a biggie. It affects a lot of things. And then I was talking a little bit about the species there. Like, they're looking at the glaciers are part of our landmass too, and they provide a habitat for many, many species.
Oh, yeah.
The whales, Arctic hares and foxes, polar bears, seals, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. But then also bacteria, fungi, algae, things like that as we know, scientists go to some of these species, and this is how we come up with ways that we can find vaccines and ways to mm-hmm. Help ourselves with health problems that we have, things like that. And the more that we lose some of these species, the more we, you know, we will never get it back. So
yeah.
it's important to watch for that, and that's why they're down there studying a lot of this. So
yeah. And you think about what kind of species and fungi and all sorts of different plants and other things are going away that absorb CO2.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's not just that the water's rising and it affects our natural land and all of that, but there's a lot of CO2 absorbers that are getting taken away.
They help take care of the problems we're creating.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, the ocean in general absorbs about a third of human-generated CO2,
mm.
which is a massive amount. But that, you know, the monitoring that's been going on, the data shows that it's fluctuating. And
mm-hmm.
and the CO2 levels at the ocean surface are rising, you know, at about the same rate as atmospheric CO2, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons of things that go into that. You know, you're talking about the Great Barrier Reef and other coral reefs that are disintegrating.
Right. And then it's one of the things down in this Greenland area, it's the algae, as the algae flourishes, because the ice sheets are being covered. It's kind of like what you're talking about, Taylor, that because of industrialization and things like that, the glaciers are picking up dust and soot and ash and all the things that we're creating.
Right.
And so it's darkening them. And then all that's creating a better area for algae to flourish. So it's making it more and more algae is flourishing. And then that is creating these algae blooms, which are now pulling the sun in rather than reflecting the sun.
Right.
So that's kind of a biggie.
And algae that's killing other species.
Right. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yes.
And one thing that, you know, that you think about in all the signs of this, you know, the glaciers are breaking apart and melting. Water is rising. Water is warming. All these things. But one thing that you kind of, or that at least that I kind of forget about, is that when the water rises, you know, when glaciers drop into it and break apart and melt, the water warms because it expands in volume.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, from the temperatures of the sun, but also just from expanding in volume, it warms.
Right.
So
there's more of it, too.
Yeah, and the warming is what's killing tons of species in the water and therefore not absorbing as much CO2 that's in the atmosphere.
Right. Yeah, it's something that I think, again, you know, we look at some of this, we can't make immediate change. I mean,
right.
We are in an industrial society. That is not going to turn around and change overnight. But finding ways that we can at least make an impact ourselves, which is what we try to talk about mm-hmm. on here, just to let people know what is going on. What are the current events? What's happening out there as a result?
Understand
of,
everything.
Yeah, and then you know what kinds of things can we do? So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like we can freeze all of those ice caps and push them back together. You know, what's done is done, but there's still the future and there's still time. And like we say, every little step helps. So
there are a lot of organizations out there that are really working hard to mm-hmm. raise money for research for things like that. So if you feel so inclined, you know, think about something that you're passionate about, mm-hmm. whether it's cleaning up the hiking trails that you go on, whether it's, you know, the National Geographic or something that you feel passionate about. And many of these places and a lot of retailers, too,
mm-hmm.
will have, and we've talked about that in here before, but you can, if you donate a little bit of money to this kind of, to something
you're
passionate about.
If you don't have the money.
Right. There are ways that you can make a difference without having to kind of feel overwhelmed by this and feel like we can't
mm-hmm.
we can't affect change.
Yeah. Change can be made.
That's right.
And it's not change isn't made by one person. It takes a whole collaborative effort. So be part of that effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it. It's a short little episode, but just wanted to inform you guys about what's going on and whether or not to be concerned about this big iceberg. So no, you don't need to be concerned, but you know, still do your part and help make that change.
Just be aware of what's happening and help make the change.
All right, well, thanks for listening and we will talk to you guys again soon.